You're the God of miracles, God of miracles. The God who was and is to come, the power of the risen one, the God who brings the dead to life. You're the God.
God, a hand of praise. Just lift up a sound of worship to the Lord. He's worthy. Begin to bless the Lord. Open up your mouth and tell Him how good He is. Begin to thank Him for the miracles that He's worked in your life. Just focus on Him. Take this moment and encounter the living God. Come on, lift up your voices to Him. I speak a fresh wind over this room. I speak a fresh anointing over this place, over every heart and mind. I speak the blessings of the Almighty God, the one who walks with us through it all, the one who raises the dead to life, who brings dry bones to life, who restores what the enemy has stolen and what the locust has eaten. God of miracles, we invite you here. Come and move. Come and have your way. In the name of Jesus. Come on, sing that again. Take just another moment and rest in that anointing. Every eye closed. Just sense the presence of God. Healing happening right now. we bless your name. We bless your name, Father. We give you glory in this place. We thank you that you've brought us through. We thank you that you've brought us to this moment, that you're writing our stories, that you're leading us down the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We declare over this new year blessing and prosperity, that we would prosper and be in health even as our souls prosper. We thank you that you walk with us through adversity, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Give God one more big hand of praise. You can be seated. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. We're so glad you're here. If this is your first time with us, please visit us in the foyer after the service so that we can give you a gift and a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop Church. At this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so on our My Church app. You can do so on our website. You can do so by text. If you're writing a check, please include your email in the memo line so that we can send you a giving receipt. And if you're giving cash, you can put it in an envelope and bring those forward to the buckets at this time. God bless you as you give.
Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah to the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, just give it up for the worship team this morning. Come on, guys. It's sounding good today. Sounding good today. Man, when demons are coming against you, there's nothing like the sound of a guitar string. Come on. I can understand why David played the harp and God moved. Come on. David played the harp and God moved. Hallelujah. Sometimes do you just like to put on that favorite worship set and what I call soaking in his presence. Come on. Just, no distractions. I used to leave it playing in my barn in the garage 24/7, 7 days a week. Didn't cost much. And every time I walked in there, I could just walk into a cloud of God's presence. Such a powerful thing. Speaking of God's presence, today marks the beginning of a national prayer week, January, thank you, Lord. Woo, where'd that come from? Don't do that to me, Lord. I'm not ready for August. I know where it came from. I saw the word awesome, and I'm thinking, you have a sheet there, and it just says it's AG week of prayer. It begins today. Somebody say today. And you pray through the week. And it's an interesting prayer guidance because you're not praying for other things. You're praying for yourself. For example, today you pray and you recognize Jesus as supreme. And you understand that because Jesus is supreme, reigning over all creation, you're expecting that every part of your life would be wholly submitted to him. I don't have to ask you, are there areas of your life that you've had a hard time just totally releasing to God? Because I know you're a human being, and just say yes. There are areas that are challenging for me to turn loose, and I've discovered that in my own life. And so as you go through this week, you're really not praying for Korea or Czechoslovakia or some other nation, which you do, you pray for the nations of the world. But as you go through this prayer week, you're really praying for yourself, that you would align with the reality that He is an awesome God and that the change really begins inside of you. Amen? Amen? I like what Charles Haddon Spurgeon said, great revivalist of the past. He said, prayer is the tender nerve that moveth the muscles of God's omnipotence. Come on. And so, you know, sometimes people say, well, you know, I'm going to fast because I'm believing God for something. Fasting doesn't change God. Fasting changes you to be able to see God the way you should have seen Him all along. Amen. Amen. So let's believe God for a great week as you focus on praying for yourself, that the reality of the radiance of God's glory would be manifested and seen in your own life. Secondly, let me remind you that you have a little flyer here that is for men. That is this coming Saturday, the 8th. We would invite you men, especially those of you that haven't been to one of these meetings before, to join our leader, Joel Tapscott, and he's believing for a great outpouring of God's presence on Saturday morning. And bring somebody with you, man. Just bring somebody with you to the men's gathering Saturday morning right here at Carpenter Shop International Church. Praise God. So let's just give the Lord a hand of praise as we believe God for great things. Hallelujah. I'm excited about a new year. Amen. Today I'm speaking a message to you. I'm titled this series, The Revision Series, because it's a time for us to go back. I always love to just address the realities of who we are, who God has called us to be. I like January. I like the new year. I like the turning of the page and feeling like, okay, it's a brand new chapter. Have you ever seen all the weight loss commercials on television in the last couple of weeks? And, you know, it's amazing, from Jenny Craig to Noom, it's all in your mind, and every kind of way, you know, go low or get low or be low or whatever low it is that you can want to be low. You see all kinds of things that are geared toward the reality that this is a brand new year. I remember when Pastor Joy was teaching school, I remember she had a little guy that ended up to be a missionary. His name was Jeremy. And he was always one to quickly raise his hand, you know, and want to help. And what he wanted to do was, y'all remember the days in school when you got to erase the board? Come on. You remember that? It'll break some of you's heart, but they don't use eraser boards anymore, okay? Everything's online, and there's a different mechanism to get those points across. But Jeremy used to raise his hand, and they used to have share times, and what you wanted to be when you grew up. And Jeremy, you know, was a great eraser, but he also erased every plan that he had for himself. And he said, I just want to be used by God as a child. And I've tracked his life, and he is being used by God. What an incredible message there. And so we get to erase, just to take the eraser and erase some things that maybe we weren't too happy with in 21. And, you know, this has been a challenging year. It has. It's been a challenging year, a year that the church has at large suffered the challenges of seeing people withdraw. Come on, let that sink in just a second. Seeing people back up, seeing people refrain from personal attendance, take on new methods of trying to nurture spiritual life to the sacrifice of human connection. I don't know about you, but I like being around you guys. I do. I like it. Amen. I love being around you, Mother Jenny. I just like being here. It just does something for me. I know because I know because I know that I'll get more out of being present than I could if I was watching it on television. I just know. And that's not to say shame on you if you're at home watching it on television, because we applaud you guys that are following us online. We've had a tremendous increase in people who are watching online. So we thank you for being able to do that, but we also challenge you to do something different. Reconnect with the church. Reconnect with in-person worship. And be careful. We want you to be careful. But just do what you can to try to make it a priority to get back into the fellowship in person. Praise the Lord. Nevertheless, whether you're in person or online, we're still the church. Amen. We saw God move in 21. We saw God do incredible things. Giving has been good. Missions, outreach has been incredible. We're still seeing souls saved. We're still seeing lives changed. So that's an incredible thing. We've never stopped. Weekly services, opportunities for connection, increased online presence, and the addition of a ministry to 182 nations of the world every week. What an incredible, incredible thing. I had a testimony this week from a Pakistani who was healed of kidney stones, had struggled and suffered all of her life, and all of a sudden this week just completely pain-free, and God dissolved kidney stones, and she was just made whole. Amen? She testified that it happened while you were preaching. Amen? Pastor Anoli just stepped up here and said a moment ago, God's doing some healing right now. And I knew it. I knew that God was healing people sitting right here. And not just here, but online, that God was healing. Listen, if you're willing to just share right quickly by the lifting of your hand, how many of you could say, I believe God did something in my body while I was worshiping God this morning? Anybody? Look at that. Look at that. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 people are testifying that God did something supernaturally in their body while they were worshiping God. Give the Lord praise today. Amen. That's incredible. That's incredible. That's not something the church did. That's something that the Father did. Amen? As we worship Him. And so we're excited that God has tremendous plans for the church. God has tremendous plans in 2022. I'd like to share a little bit about who we are. I love this time of year. I always like to just kind of revamp my message and say, you know, I get a chance to just do a couple of things. And one of those things is to acclimate those persons who are new. I see new faces today. I got telephone calls this week. I got text messages this morning. Somebody say this morning, where someone had texted me and said, tell me a little about your church. Because people are making decisions right now to do something, here we go, different in 22 than they did not do in 21. Amen? And so people are going to make a decision. I see new faces, smiling faces, that are going to make a decision. Is Carpenter Shop for me? Today, I want to share with you a little bit about who we are, what we're all about, and why we do what we do. You know, it's really living out a story that is chronicled in my life. I'm not a very good self-promoter. So somebody asked me just a couple of weeks ago, hey, haven't you written books? I said, yeah, I've written books. And he said, well, I'd like to have a couple of copies of those things. And I said, okay, I'll make them available the first Sunday of the year. My books are available on Amazon and different places online. What is the name of the bookstore? Yeah, Barnes & Noble. Those places, they're available. You can get them online. But I wrote a book several years ago called Just Plain Vanilla, A Pastor's Story. And then I followed that with a book called All Dressed Up and No Place to Go, Closed Doors in the Lord's House. And God's done some incredible things. And just when I thought that my books were just kind of a history piece and they would slide off the scene, I can tell you prejudice and racism is alive in America today. And so I'm writing another book, and I can't wait to get that out. It's called The Times I Quit. Amen? Because I've wanted to quit many times. Have you? Sometimes I just want to quit. Sometimes I just want to throw in the towel. And there's been many times, you know, and it happened on a route to the airport. Pastor Joy and I were with Pastor Kim Norris, and we were riding to the airport to take him back, to fly back to his home in Bloomington. And he said, Pastor Wallace, I'm proud of you, man. I said, well, thank you, Pastor Kim. He said, I really am. Now, listen to me. He said, I'm proud of you because you haven't had a scandal. You haven't resigned. You haven't just quit from frustrations. And I just want you to know that you're a steady leader who impacts my life. I'm proud of you. I said, Pastor Joy, would you write this down? Because the Holy Ghost started giving me a download, okay? And I said, the name of the book will be The Times I Quit.
Because I said, Pastor Kim, there have been times that I wanted to quit. There have been times that I remember a day when I rolled up into the parsonage driveway. We were living back here where Gary and Miranda live now. And Pastor Joy comes out the parsonage smiling to greet me. And I said, I got some good news. And she said, what? I said, I got my job back today. She said, what? I said, I got my job in Florida back. I'm going to resign the church and we can leave. We can go back to Florida. And you know, that didn't transpire, but can I just tell you, I can't tell you the number of times that I have said, I'm out of here. I'm gone. I'm leaving. And the only reason I haven't is because the Holy Spirit would always speak to me and say, what are you doing? Okay? What are you doing? And so I'm going to chronicle a book this year called The Times I Quit, because I've had a lot of good reasons to quit. Things that maybe, some things I may not be able to write, but I've had a lot of good reasons just to jump ship and go. But God's always given me the staying power. He's always given me the staying power. Amen. And I'm not a perfect leader. I lead in ways that people don't understand sometimes. I wonder why he's doing that. I wonder why he made that decision. That's too fast. I wonder why he's choosing this. And you know what? You trust me as a leader. You trust me. And I'll do things, I promise you. I've already made decisions behind the scenes for 22 that will impact our lives. And some of you may say, well, I wonder why he did that. But you trust me as a leader, and I thank you for that trust. And I want you to pray for me that in 22, God will do exceedingly abundantly above all that any of us could ask or think. Ephesians 3:20. Amen. Because he's up to something good, and I'm excited about that. Pastor Joy, would you take these books, and maybe you can just bless somebody. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Just give one to one person, one to another. She's just giving you a $10 bill, okay? All right. Books are available in the foyer. As I said, I don't promote those things very much. and I should, you know, we haven't been able to plan retirement based on those books like Pastor Joy thought maybe we might after the first one. But I have crossed a monumental place and multiplied thousands of sales on those books online. And I thank God for that. I don't even promote them. And it's incredible what God has done in taking that message and changed lives, and changed hearts. And I just thank God for this next one, The Times I Quit. So pray for me that God will give me the download of what's to happen in that text, and that it'll be pointed to touch people who need to be touched. So for you that are here that are new, you'll get to hear a little bit about our ministry here in the month of January, what our vision is. It's an opportunity for you to kind of get to know us. For those of you who are veterans, you've been here a long time, you'll get a chance to revisit. There's nothing wrong with that. My brother worked for UPS for 35 years. And he said every morning for 35 years, every morning, Monday through Friday, they sit down at 8 o'clock. And the supervisor would say to them, listen, guys, in just a few minutes, you're going to get on a brown truck. And you're going to drive the highways of North Carolina on rural roads, long stretches, curves. I want you to be careful today because we are responsible for people's packages and we're responsible to run these roads and get them delivered in safety. They have an impeccable driving record in UPS. And every day they were warned to be careful. Every day they were warned to drive safely, to not go over the speed limit. Every day. Every day, every season, Vince Lombardi, the great football coach of days gone by, sat with his team and he tossed up a brown leather piece of pigskin that we know as a football. And he said, sirs, I want to tell you, this is a football. Beginning of every season. And he said, there's a goalpost down here and 100 yards that way, there's another goalpost. And our job is to get into the enemy's territory and score the points. today, I need you to listen to me because I'm going to share with you some essentials in playing this game. And he did that every season, Susan. Every season. And so listen, before you check out on me and say, oh yeah, I've heard the love message, open up your ears and hear what the Holy Spirit says to you today. Because you need this, and I need this. And I remind myself all the time that I'm intentionally called to be a living example of what God wants for every church in this community, every church in this state, every church in this nation and world. He wants us to love people. Look at our vision statement. Carpenter Shop International Church is a multi-ethnic, multi-generational body of believers whose vision is to love all people. To win them to Christ. To build them in discipleship and to send them out to fulfill their divine destiny. It's like this, hashtag love, win, build, send. That's what the mission is of this house. So today we're going to talk about love because that's the motive. Today we're going to talk about love because that's the message. Today we're going to talk about love because that's the means of getting people saved, getting people ready for eternity. We're really called to make it as hard as possible to get to hell from a hospital. Okay? Come on, say that with me. We're really called to make it as hard as possible to get to hell from a husky. That's what we're really called to loving people. Matt Myers here just this past week took a journey down to the Fayetteville region and he petitioned the worship team for prayer. He said, guys, I need your help today because I'm going into territory that is unfamiliar to a lot of us. I'm going into a group of people who really don't even want to serve the Lord and really are turned off by the church. And really, it's going to be a challenge for me, but I'm getting ready to reach people who other people aren't reaching. And so, Matt, I admire you, man. Listen, I stood there and watched him playing the guitar this morning, and I was just feasting on those guitar tones. And I felt the anointing of the Holy Spirit just radiating from that instrument. So there's something about playing, and then there's something about somebody who's anointed by God to play. Okay? There's a difference. There's a difference. Hats off to you for loving people that other people have cast aside already. Let's talk about love. That's the means, that's the motive, that's the message. And you and I truly come to an understanding of why we are placed here on this earth. It's then and only then that we will get busy doing the business of the kingdom of God rather than fulfilling our own passions and our own desires or trying our dead level best to make the church somewhat like we would like it to be. Come on. It's really not about what we would like for the church to be. It's about making sure that the church is anointed by God to be an agent and a catalyst to getting people to change their lives and have their lives transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what our mission is. It's never changed. And so we do that by doing what? Loving people. Romans 5, verse 8. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, God did what? Christ died for us. That's the message. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. That simply means that God, the Creator, just didn't say, I love you without condition to the moon and back. You've seen that one on Facebook, haven't you? Love you to the moon and back. But God demonstrated his love. I remember picking up a tract many, many years ago. You don't see many gospel tracts now, but I remember picking up this one. It's a picture of Jesus, had his arms stretched wide on Calvary's cross. And someone asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he said, this much. And he stretched out his arms and died. I love you this much. That's really what it's all about. In the Torah of the Old Testament, a blood sacrifice was really foundational in what God required for the forgiveness of sin. You can find it in those early pages. You can find it in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. Adam and Eve are placed in the garden, and they were told, it's all yours. Have it all. Enjoy it. It will sustain you eternally, forever. And there was only one prohibition. Only one rule. Only one law. Only one statement. Say it every way you'd like to say it. He said simply, do not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Genesis 2:17 says this, for when you do, you shall surely what? Die. In other words, you will cut yourself off from sustenance. You will cut yourself off from the communion that you now have with me, God was saying to Adam and Eve. You will cut yourself off from communion with the Father. You will cut yourself off from peace. And they did. They yielded to temptation of the devil in the form of a serpent. And immediately, the Bible says, the eyes of them both were opened. And they recognized, as they had not before, that they were naked. They were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Listen, if you're a Christian, you need to understand the thread of forgiveness that is found from Genesis to Revelation is in the blood. You need to understand this. It happened in the book of beginnings. It happened in the beginning that God laid a foundation of what is required for your naughtiness. It's the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Come on, give the Lord praise today. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so the story goes that Adam and Eve are in full recognition that they are naked and they are embarrassed. You've heard me say this before. What's the first thing you do when somebody walks in on you? Is you do a crouch and cover. Okay? Why? Because you don't want anybody to see. You walked in on me. What are you doing? And so they were now ashamed. Okay? That's where we got clothing from. We don't, you know, we clothe ourselves because we're not happy with what's underneath. It's okay to laugh. You're not happy with what's underneath. I don't care what you do. I don't care all the products you purchase, all the programs you sign up for, you know, can never take away that discontent with your heart and soul. The only thing that could ever change the way you feel about yourself, and you come to a reality that you are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that you are not a mistake, and God has a plan for you, and all those other strong prophetic Old Testament words that are true about you. You'll never come to that awareness until you meet Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. And so Genesis 3:7 says that their eyes were opened and they sewed fig leaves together. And the story goes that the Lord God comes walking through the garden in the cool of the day, and he's posing that great question, Adam, where are you? And For years I thought, you know, he was really talking about geographics. But God wasn't inquiring about Adam's location, because he's the author of the GPS. That's called the global positioning system. Okay, there's only four satellites in the air, and you use your smartphone, and that satellite pings back to your phone and says, recalculating, when you make a wrong turn. But here's a godly positioning system where God knows that in the earth there's a man named Adam that was told, do not, and he did. And so he says, where are you, Adam? He was really not asking about where physically or geographically. He was asking him this question, James, where are you in light of my rule? Where are you in light of my prohibition? Where are you in light of what I set as a standard? Where are you? And so it's the Lord who takes the initiative. He's the one who slays the animal. And if you slay an animal, what happens? Blood shed. And if you pull the skins off and fashion clothing, God is the... Oh, this beautiful picture. God is the one who made provision for you and I to not be ashamed. Okay? And you know what I've discovered about sin a long time ago? Is it brings with it its own condemnation. If you're sitting here today, or if you're listening to me online, if you're doing something that is outside of the plans and purposes of God for your life or my life, you full well know it without anyone having to remind you. You know good and well you ought not to be living together. You don't need anybody to tell you that. Because if you're doing that, you know that that's not God's plan. You know good and well you ought not to be going out there and hanging out at that nightclub. You know that. You don't need anybody to convince you that that's probably not the best thing for a child of God to be doing. Because with every sin, with every disappointment, there is a sense of guilt. If you have to question whether or not it's right or wrong to do what you're doing, then you probably know the answer already, okay? And the Bible says to you, if it's wrong for you, then guess what? It's wrong, okay? If it's sin, it's sin then. If you know that it's not right and it bothers your spirit, it's sin for you, okay? And so they yielded to this temptation. Their eyes are open and they receive the Lord's clothing. And he covers them, and the Lord shows himself to be more than enough for their shame. Amen? We're not talking about location. We're talking about status. Be a good time to look at your neighbor and say, what's your status? Come on. What's your status with God? Are you in the family or not? Okay? Are you just doing church? There's a lot of people who do church. There's a lot of people who watch online and just they're just watching. But have you made a full commitment to the things of God? Have you trusted him to supply for you your every need? The question really goes like this. Where are you in light of God's law? Amen? So God's redemptive plan is foreshadowed here in the Old Testament narrative, but the fig leaves are insufficient. It takes the blood sacrifice. Genesis 3:21 gives that proof. The Lord God did this. He made coats of skins for Adam and for his wife Eve, and he clothed them. And so we fast forward to the New Testament of Hebrews 9:22. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. The word is forgiveness, one translation. Without shed blood, there's no forgiveness. That's why the forerunner, John the Baptist, understood his mission was fulfilled. He had preached a baptism of what? Repentance. But it was time for him to decrease, he said, and for Jesus to increase. So he opens up his mouth as Jesus is walking by the way. And what does he say? He says, behold, John 1:29, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And he did take away the sins of the world, and he still does. His death on the cross was and is efficacious. It's substitutionary. It's powerful, and it is effective. Amen? The gospel, the good news of Jesus, truly is the power of God, as Paul said to the church at Rome, unto salvation. John in his gospel, his version of the good news, the Evangelion, his version says this, for God so loved, verse 16, it's a verse we all learn as a kid, for God so loved, to underscore that word. He loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. Love was the motivation. God so loved that he did what? He gave. Amen? That love is not storge, which is familial love in the original language. It's the kind of love a father has for his son or a daughter, a mom for the daughter or her son. It's the kind of storge, family, familial love. It's not phileo like one has for a friend that sticks close to him. He's like a brother. Phileo, welcome to Philadelphia, city of brotherly love. It's not that kind of love. And it's not eros. That's an erotic kind of love, a sexual kind of love. That's not the love. It is agape. It is unconditional love. It's unconditional. In other words, you don't have to get everything in order before you can receive the love of God. You don't have to get it right. You don't have to clean up before you come to Jesus. In fact, you can't. You can't get it right until you come to Jesus. Come on, give the Lord praise. And even when you come to Jesus, somebody help me here, you're still not going to get it all right, okay? And you are going to sin. And when you sin, John comes back and tells us, my dear children, 1 John 2:1, I call him one-eyed John. Come on, somebody. One-Eyed John says this, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, is sitting at the right hand making intercession for the saints, pleading our case, standing in the gap for us." He's doing that. You're going to make mistakes, beloved. You're going to make mistakes as long as you're in this body. And he says in verse 17, "For God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." You know, I just love people, man. I just love people. I love to get around people, and I love to discover people, and I love to meet people, and I love to just get engaged with people in conversation. A man stopped me this week in the Lowe's Building Center. I was picking up some bulbs that I couldn't find anywhere else but there. And so I had to drive over to Elizabeth City and find these 10 bulbs that somehow I'd let 10 of them go out before I ever decided it's time to get one. And this man, I'm standing there waiting for Pastor Joy. She said, "You go ahead and pay. I'm just going to look at some things over here." So I'm just standing there, you know, just waiting. And the guy walks up to me fully masked. He says, "Hey, I know you." I said, "You do?" He said, "Yes." He said, you're in the Assemblies of God, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "I've seen you and I've heard you. And I heard you talking a moment ago, and that's what caused me to turn around, and I remembered your voice." He said, "What's your name?" And I told him. He said, "That's right." Okay. You ever done that? You ever faked it? Come on. And I said, "Well, who are you?" And he told me, and I said, "You know, I don't remember you, but I have preached there." Okay. And so here's the thing. You know, people are watching you, and they're waiting to engage with you. And I love to listen. I was just dressed all down. Well, I dress down all the time anyway, but I was just dressed down, and I was just being casual. And I just said, you know, I just love it when people just want to engage. So we engaged for a few moments in conversation and found out that our commonality was not electric bulbs or geographic place in which we lived. Our commonality was what? Faith in Christ. Amen? Listen, God is going to put you in places in the year 2022 that he wants to position you, to place you, to posture you into a situation where you will encounter someone else. And that someone else will minister to you, and you will minister to them. God is in the business of doing that. And so make sure that your purpose is always to expend what? Love. The love of the Father. The love of the Father. God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He simply has to take you and I from darkness to light. John continues on, skip down to verse 19. This is the verdict, he says. Light has come into the world, but check this out. I'm this way, you're this way, we're all this way. People love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. John declares the verdict of guilt upon every man, woman, boy, and girl, that people, all people love darkness instead of light. That's why Paul says to the church at Rome, chapter 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Dr. King is right. Darkness cannot drive out darkness, he said. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. Only love can drive out hatred. Love, love, love. The motive of this church must be, has to be, always should be, love. The message of this church always has been, always should be, love. Jesus loves you, and Jesus wants you to love everybody. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God, because why? God is love. Amen? If you know God, then you're not going to have an issue with other people. That was kind of weak, guys. That was kind of weak. I said, if you know God, you're not going to have an issue with other people who are not like you. I still behave myself the same way after all these years. I get in busy grocery store lines where I'm known. I don't do a lot of shopping in a Husky because it takes three times the time to do it. Hey, Pastor Philip, how you doing, man? Come on over here and tell me something. I can't get out of a store. So I choose to shop in other places where people don't know me. I'm in, I'm out, okay? But when I do shop in an area that I'm known, like a Husky area, I get into line. Pastor Phillips, come on down here. I'll take you down here, man. I said, no, I'm good. Because this is a Caucasian cashier who's opening the way for me to get out faster. But I jumped in the line of an African-American cashier. I did it intentionally. Because I purpose every day of my life to position myself in front of people who are not like me. Because every time I get in front of folk who are not like me, I learn a little black and they learn a little white. Okay? Come on. Come on. I intentionally, man, you've heard me tell the story. I went to O'Connor's many, many years. I go into O'Connor's and eat breakfast. And you know, if you're from around here, when you went to O'Connor's, if you were black, you take a right. If you're white, you take a left. Guess what I take? I take a right, okay? And I sit among the other folks who are not like me. Come on, hey, Pastor, come on, we got a seat for you right here. No, I'm good. And I just rebelled against the norm. And I have chosen to live my life that way. So now it's a part of me. And I teach other people the same thing. I just got a call from a ministry in the Albemarle area just a few weeks ago. Hey, we want to try to integrate our church. Is it possible that you could come and teach us what you have done to make Carpenter Shop the way that it is today? I said, well, yeah, I can do that. But I said, let me just tell you something. I've been at Carpenter Shop for 30 years. This year's my 30th year, y'all. 30 years. And it's taken 30 years to make certain that this church is a mirrored reflection of the community. It's no different than Walmart or McDonald's. Okay? Everybody comes, everybody's welcome. But you don't do that by having a service at the first of a year. You have to live this. You have to teach this. You have to be intentional. You have to train your people to be intentional. That's why when you step on the steps of our church, you don't see two white women, two black women. And you never see a man, because a man don't have any business greeting people at the door. He wants to talk about basketball, hunting, fishing, all these other things. We don't care about your deer, okay? Man, he come popping across there. I pulled up mine, rolled him over, man, one shot. We don't care about that. We're trying to get them in the building because it's raining outside, in case you didn't recognize that, okay? So we put the women at the door. How are you, precious? Come on in the house of God today. Go, glad to see you. We put women at the door because women are relational. All right? Women are relational. So, but we at the doors, black, white. Black Hispanic, black Native American. Listen, not going to see two of the same people. If you do, tell me, because I'm getting on somebody. But I don't have to worry about that, because Mother Jenny is a good leader. Leaders lead. Mother Jenny, come on. Mother Jenny is the one who, if you're a greeter, listen, if you're a greeter, raise your hand, please. If you're a greeter, how many of y'all are tired of those meetings you have on this certain Sunday? Come on. You don't want to go to that meeting. Come on, tell the truth and let the Lord love you. How many of you don't like to go to that meeting? Come on, you better tell the truth. You don't want to go to that meeting, but you're going to a meeting because she's just like Vince Lombardi and she's just like the UPS people, and she's going to tell you, smile, brush your teeth, don't come to church with your stinking breath. She's going to tell you all of those things. Why? Because it's important when you greet people to be pleasant. She's a good leader. God bless you, my dear. She's a good leader. She's training, she's telling, she's reminding, she's equipping, because we need to be told those things. The very foundation for the vision of this church is to love all people. John 13:35 says it like this. I love theological arguments. Pastor Anoli, I got into a conversation one day with a group of guys, and the discussion was the physical proof of the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Whether or not it is, in fact, speaking in other tongues or not. And one of them spoke up and said this, and I thought it was revelation to my soul. He said, I think the proof of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is John 13:35. I said, wow, let's take a look at that. By this, all men will know that you are my disciple. You are my child. You are walking in the fullness of the Spirit of God. Is that you have an incredible agape for other people. I thought, wow, that's a good argument. That's a great argument. You know, I don't want to hear how much you and Shandala, Bibaba, and then you're going to cuss somebody out on Monday. I don't want to hear that. And neither does God. Okay? Because you want to make sure that your fullness of the Holy Spirit is consistent 7 days a week, 24/7. Come on. So by this, all men will know you're my disciples if you have what? Agape. Not sloppy agape. Agape. Love one for another. Love. Love one for another. In other words, you are my student. You are my disciple. You have sat down and postured yourself to learn from me. And you allow my love to replace your hate. Okay? Read my book, man. You will discover. I was in the challenge of my life. Do I write the real story? My father is the one probably listening to me right now. My father is the one who said to me, listen, never call a black man by the term mister. I said, why not? He said, because he's black. I said, well, his name is Mr. Skinner. You don't call him Mr. Skinner. That was ingrained in me as a child. Okay? So what do you call him? You call him Uncle George. He's not my uncle. So see, I was taught a certain behavior as a child that I brought into adulthood. That's why, Roger, you heard my story. You heard about people who told you that that pastor who pastored that church went and knocked on the door and told this family, you can't come back here with that girl anymore. It's in the book. I did that. I knocked on the door in Roanoke Rapids in the Mill Village. And I told a family, please do not bring that black child back to our church. We love you. We care about you. We don't want you to get your feelings hurt. That's what I told them. Wait a minute, you're an idiot. You told them you don't want them to get their feelings hurt. You're the one that are driving the nails in their heart right now. As a tongue-speaking Pentecostal preacher, I did that. And those of you that have been here for many years, you remember the day that I had some 21, 22-year-old girl stand in this pulpit and tell this church what it was like today, the day that Pastor Phillips knocked on their door. She told the story. Her mom was in the backyard putting clothes on the line. And every time she said, I squeezed every clothespin, I said, Father, change that man. Reach down for another garment, clothespin. Father, change that man by the power of your Spirit. Reach down for another garment. Father, change that man. Can I tell you something? The Lord honored that girl's prayer. She was a Native American girl from Lumberton, North Carolina, and she touched heaven in my behalf, and God snatched me out of darkness and turned me to light. And I love people. I love all kinds of people, red and yellow, black and white. All are precious in His sight. Love. Love has to be. Listen, there's people that have left this church, and I know why they left. They left because they didn't really like where we were going. Okay? I just think worship is one of them days where you just stay with your own kind. Oh, really? That's about as non-biblical as I've ever seen in my life. The Antioch church was a solid example we learned just this past week in the New Testament class. the Antioch church was a solid example of a multi-ethnic church. Amen. And the church that's growing and going today is a church that is made up of all kinds of people. The rest of them are struggling. They're still preaching outside the building, people sitting in the parking lot. They call it park and praise. Come on, guys. Get a life. Get a life. Get a life. Understand. Listen, this thing ain't going away. There's another variant after another, another variant, another. Whoever got the flu anymore? That's the thing of the past. Okay? It's COVID. And COVID's here to stay. And COVID is not a problem for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not. And so do what you have to do. Wear your mask, distance yourself, use your little salve. I do all those things. Use those things, but don't let him run you out of the church. He said the gates of hell wouldn't prevail against the church. And so let's gather and let's believe God that 2022 is going to be an incredible year of God's blessings. Why? Because we're going back to the basics of life and we're going to love people despite where they are. Amen? We're going to love people. We're going to love everybody. If you truly know Jesus, you will love one another. That's what true agape love does. You love the liar, the cheater, the drunkard, the drug addict. You'll love the one who did you wrong and seldom did you right. You'll love the black and you'll love the white. Amen. Sound like a rap song. Don't. Come on. Look, I might be 60, but I got it going on, brother. Look at my jeans, man. Look like they've been split all to pieces. My wife looked at me this morning. She said, "What you got on?" I said, "Jeans." She said, "They tore up." I said, "No, they're not. They're brand new." Did you ever think you'd live to see today that a pair of jeans would be worth $120 if they had tear marks in them? Come on. Come on. I like them Levi 1999s and Wranglers from Walmart. Come on, somebody. I said, "No, baby, my jeans is good." Praise the Lord. You'll love everybody. Let me ask you as we come to a close. Man, I could preach another hour. I love this kind of thing. I love sharing with you what is the foundation of how we got to where we are. It's really all about love. Does it bother you that people are going to hell every day because they never had anyone to tell them that Jesus is the way? Does it move you at all that people are leaving this earth having never prepared for the life that is to come, the life that will last forever and ever and ever? Isaiah prophesied this in his message from Isaiah 5. He said, "Hell hath enlarged itself." NIV puts it like this: "Therefore death expands its jaws, opening wide its mouth. Into it will descend their nobles and masses with all their brawlers and revelers." The New Living Translation puts it this way: "The grave is licking its lips in anticipation, opening its mouth wide. The great and the lowly and all the drunken mob will be swallowed up." I want you to help me this year, 2022. I want you to help me tell all people, starting in our own Jerusalem right here, Ahoskie, North Carolina, that Jesus loves them. That Jesus died for them. That Jesus arose from the grave for them. That Jesus ascended to the Father for them. And that Jesus is coming back for them. He loves you. He loves you. He really loves you. If you're listening to me online today, I want to tell you, Jesus loves you. Comment in the section below. "Hey, I want to receive Christ." Just let us know. We'll reach out to you. We got team members watching the broadcast right now. And they'll respond back to you. They'll follow up with you. Just make that commitment to the Lord Jesus. For those of you here today, let's stand together. Could we do that? just stand together. For those of you that are here today and you say, you know what, Pastor? I need to get some things right at the very onset of this calendar year, 2022. I need to get some things right. And the thing that I need to get right is my relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here and that's you, step out of your seat right where you are and come join me here at the front. Come on, don't wait. If your heart just picked up a beat, that's you, okay? It's the Holy Ghost just tapping on your heart. Just step out of your seat right where you are and come. Come this way. And we will pray with you. We will believe God with you. Is that you? God is speaking to your heart. And you need to get some priorities in order. If not, maybe the Lord is speaking to you to purpose in your heart to expend the love of God like you never have before. To just be His agent. Listen, there's nothing I love anymore. If I don't do anything else for the kingdom of God, I've had so many invitations to preach. I've been in 29 countries in my life. I've written books. I've been on television. I'm on there today by way of the internet in 182 countries. If I don't do a thing else, I've enjoyed a large opportunity to touch people's lives. But the greatest reward for me, hear me, the greatest reward for me is to meet a person one-on-one and just say, hey, James, tell me about your faith, man. Sitting in a coffee shop or something, James, tell me about your faith. And James articulates his faith. And then we talk about my faith. The most fun, Pastor Bernie, that I've ever had in my life. I was on television with Marvin Sapp. Come on. I was in the elevator with Marvin Sapp. Never would have made it. Come on, somebody. Never would have made it. I sat in the green room. I sat in the green room with star people. I'm thinking, what in the world am I from Ahoskie, North Carolina, in this room getting ready to go on television? If I never do anything else like that, I've got my quota of opportunities. But the most fun for me is to just meet a person, talk about faith, lead them to the trough, and allow them to feast from the truths of God's word. God, give us more opportunities. If that's you and God's touching your heart, Lord, give me more opportunities to love people. Just step out of your seat right where you are and just come and let's just bathe ourselves in His presence for a few moments. Come on, the worship team's going to begin to sing. Just get out of your seat and just stand in His presence for a few moments. Lift up your hands toward heaven and just say, Lord, just release your love on me. Release your love on me, God. One more time, allow me to be anointed of the Holy Spirit to love other people, unconditionally. Allow me to love other people. Put people in my path. Set up divine appointments so that I can engage my life with their life. And we can share the story. God, do it one more time. In Jesus' name. Go ahead, God. Sing it.
I am a child of God.
Hallelujah. Given us power and a sound mind. Lord, I speak to my mind today. You ever felt like you were going crazy? I have. Come on, in 2020 and 21, I felt like I was going crazy. This is crazy. But God, thank you that you have given me power and love and a sound mind. Come on, lay your hand on your own head right now. Lord, I thank you that I have thoughts of goodness, thoughts of peace, thoughts of prosperity, thoughts of goodness all the days of my life. Lord, I thank you that I dwell in the house of the Lord. I thank you that you are my shepherd and I shall not want. And you make me lie down in green pastures and you restore my soul and you lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'm going to fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies, Lord, and my cup is overflowing, and goodness and mercy are following me all the days of my life. and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Come on, thank Him for the house of the Lord today, would you? Thank Him for the house of the Lord. Thank Him for the house of the Lord. The house of the Lord. The house of the Lord. Come on. Thank Him for the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You split the sea so I could walk right through it. Stand and sing. I am a child of God. Hallelujah. One more time. You split the sea. Hallelujah.
You split the sea so I can walk.
Come on, listen to this last line. I am a child of God. One more time, I am. For I am a child of God. Come on, give the Lord praise today. I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. I'm a child of God. Hallelujah. Blessed by the Father. Hallelujah. In relationship with the Son. Come on. Empowered by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Oh, Rabasata Labosata. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you today. We bless your people, God. We thank you, Lord, that you visited us this morning by the power of your presence. And Lord, we receive the embedded word that we're called to be people of love. We love because you loved us. We love, God, because you extended your love to us. And Lord, help us this year, this 2022, to be people of love who just run into folk all the time and we get a chance to love them. Help us to be intentional, Lord, to place ourselves not in birds of a feather flock together, but help us to place ourselves in paths where people are not like us. In the grocery store. Everywhere else. So that they can learn and we can learn. That people are people. They're just people. Thank you, Lord, that your word says that there's coming a day when every nation, tribe, tongue, and language will be gathered around the throne of God, singing glory, glory, glory to the Lamb. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We bless you in this moment, God. We bless our online audience, God. I pray that you would minister to them in the power of your presence today. In Jesus' strong name, amen and amen. Well, let's take a break and come on back and have another service. Come on. Amen. Y'all enjoy your Sunday. Enjoy your Sunday. God bless you. Have a great day.